do between now and then to set us up in the best way to, you know, for success in Dakar. So can I ask for suggestions from you about how we get ourselves ready? I'm going to ask Alice to circulate an action list just to remind us of what we volunteered to do. Obviously there are some things that are going to be very time bound, like we've got some swift feedback to give the survey company in order to get the results by our Dakar meeting. That would be excellent. Given what we discussed yesterday, I think that we have also a little bit of a little bit of grace, if you like, that you know, for example, it makes the assimilation of the survey results a little less frantic, you know, because I can foresee that we will get them, we want to reflect, and we want to think about how we're going to anchor that into the text. One suggestion just off the top of my head is that the gap between now and Dakar might be an opportunity for us to try and start knitting the bits of this document together into a single document, which would mean eliminating the area. There's quite a few areas of overlap. It's just an idea, or it might be too early. Any thoughts?
We should try to finish our first complete draft in order to make progress. And Dakar, we can talk about a whole complete document, and hopefully we can come to a conclusion which parts are finished and which are still under development.
Peter?
Yep, Lutz said what I wanted to say. I guess I'm echoing his comments and to directly respond to your point. I don't think it's too early. We can keep versions if we need to go backwards, but we should try to go forwards wherever we can, I think. The closer we can turn up with something that's complete to Dakar and that people see, you know, a couple of days in advance means that we'll be potentially having more useful discussions there. The more we can narrow down where areas that need further work are, the better probably. And it seems to my mind that there'll be probably a few classes of those sorts of issues. One will be recommendations that need more discussion or work. One will be recommendations that we've forgotten. And you know, I'm pretty sure that I haven't remembered them all, and I had on my list of things to do, you know, on the plane on the way over here that I didn't really do, was to go through the four different lists and see if there were repeats or things that could be picked up and where they could be moved to so that they were off the lists and into the document somewhere. So there'll be contested recommendations, missing recommendations, or ones that are not necessarily contested that just need to be fleshed out, like there's some little idea like we had a while ago, you know, lack of regulator or something. And then aside from, there'll be text issues, I guess, but in my mind there'll be structural issues with the text still. I thought yesterday's discussion from my point of view was really useful in I now feel I have a better idea how the document will flow. And it kind of makes sense to me now. We've agreed, I think, to move some things to appendices and so on. It seems like in my mind, there's a clearer flow and structure to the argument. But there's still a few bits, particularly I think in the last three chapters, that are going to need to be ironed out, because potentially the way we've got the structure based around, I guess, existing policy implementation gaps in terms of the issues, we'll be repeating potentially each issue in three different spots. So we'll be talking about accuracy policy, and then in the next chapter accuracy implementation, and then later accuracy gaps, And to make that flow clearly is going to take some work. I think we'll face the same issue if we do accuracy all in one place and do all the other threads in the same place. But just to avoid that, for the reader, disjointedness. But I think, as someone said, like, if we do decide to glump accuracy together and privacy together into their own chapters with all the policy implementation, it should just hopefully be cut and paste,
yeah,
if we decide to restructure it once we've got all the text basically settled. Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah, on the accuracy thing, you know, I've really been thinking more about Sarmad's question in the research. And, you know, in organizing the way we do this in the report, you know, I think we all agree that accuracy is an element of the consumer trust. So then my tentative thought is that since we have other sources of data about data accuracy, that in the consumer trust section and in the research, we need to focus on the issues where we don't have data, or not any other input from the ICANN community, such as the usability, such as the low awareness. You know, those would be examples, not the only ones, but those would be examples of issues that I don't think we'll capture elsewhere in the paper. And then, and again, I'm kind of thinking out loud here, but on the accuracy, it needs to be cross-referenced somehow in the consumer trust area. Does that make sense?
I think so. Peter?
I guess I have a question about what you mean by the consumer trust area. So I follow your thinking on the research work we're doing, although I think it was, as Sarmad was discussing when we were talking with the consultants, there is, I guess, some potential. While we have an accuracy study, there is some potential, but possibly to ask questions about what that means for consumer trust. So we know that 20-odd% of records are badly inaccurate, but if a consumer is confronted by one of those, you know, they go to a Bob's Gardening domain and they find out that it's registered to Mickey Mouse, what impact does that have on their trust? So that takes it an extra step. We know there's inaccuracy, but what does that mean for consumer trust? So we could potentially draw some of it out a little bit more in the study. But as for what you mean by the consumer trust section, I'm interested.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to visualize how we're going to take the results of the consumer research after the quantitative surveys are done and how that will fit into the report. And we've talked before about it being a cross-cutting issue. And I know yesterday we talked about taking law enforcement and consumers as kind of the two, I guess, basic structure, you know, structures or ways to organize the information. So I'm not making a specific proposal. I think I'm really just kind of wanting some discussion about, again, on organizing the chapters and exactly how this will fit in. And so, like, for data accuracy, for instance, that does have impact both to law enforcement and to consumers. So, yeah, it's really the organizing kind of question.
Yeah. I thought we did a lot of great work yesterday on creating something that flowed and told the story and in a way that people could follow. So let me think about several things. One is the executive summary is a way for us to tell the story in a different way. That's, the executive summary may help us approach something like access and accuracy across, telling it to a more general audience, kind of across the, for lack of a better word, across the silos of policy, implementation, compliance. So the executive summary may provide us with a way to do that, and then say for a deep dive, you know, we're going into the rest of the report, and that report does seem to flow pretty well with kind of the no policies out there, implementation, compliance, stakeholder, you know, others, and then, you know, because we, there's so much to explain, and now we're explaining even more, you know, based on the edits we have to the policy chapter, so much more is coming in. So kind of explaining that with the access and accuracy issues, and then at the end, how does this rise? After all of this now, how does this rise to law enforcement and consumer trust, and legitimate needs of law enforcement and consumer trust? So, I don't know, just a thought, executive summary may help.
I've got Peter and Bill.
I might, if I scribble something, my understanding of the structure of those three chapters on the piece of paper, and then people can tell me if I'm right or wrong, and then I think that'll help me. It may help others.
Three chapters loosely called policy. So that's one chapter. And then there's implementation. That's because my writing's terrible. Pretend that says policy. That says implementation. And this says gap. So I think yesterday we were talking about three chapters along those lines. And within each chapter, amongst potentially some other things, but we'll focus on the two that we've spent a bit of time on, there'll be a subsection on accuracy, one on, we'll summarise it to privacy, and that'll be replicated in each of these chapters. So there might be a third issue as well. So in each section of policy, there's going to be what policies talk about accuracy as a little subsection, what policies talk about privacy as a little subsection, and in the implementation chapter, there'll be similar subsections, and in the gap, similar subsections. And then within each of those subsections, while we look at accuracy, maybe it doesn't apply in this chapter, but we look at the effect of this through the lens of law enforcement and consumer trust. So by the time we get to the gaps, that'll make a lot of sense. Like, there'll be a section on the gaps, and a subset, one of the gaps we'll look at is accuracy, and we'll assess the effect of the accuracy gaps in terms of, is the policy effective? Does it meet the reasonable needs of law enforcement? Does it promote consumer trust? So that's where I understood we got to, and that's why I was saying that there's going to be some need to keep the thread of each of these running across chapters. The other way to do it is, another way, is to structure the chapters around the issues and then have each one do with policy implementation in each issue chapter. Or I think what the Samad suggestion might have been, if I understood it, that we have chapters around consumer trust, law enforcement, and then somehow wibble the structure around that way.
But I was actually suggesting something in the
in between. Which was that structure policy implementation and gap like that, but switch the these two around.
We in the policy we look at law enforcement,
right? And then within law enforcement you can look at accuracy. Yes. And I was not actually going to the third level. So I was actually saying within policy implementation and gap, divide that up into, instead of accuracy and availability or privacy, do policy, and then within policy, law enforcement and...
I'm wondering how that would look like. So, because as I understand it, in terms of what the policies are and the implementation are, none of that at the moment is specifically targeted to,
but
law
that's
enforcement. So what is a law enforcement policy?
And exactly. So that sort of very. So I'm not suggesting that this should be preferred over other. I'm just saying that if you do it this way, it just very automatically ties up with the AOC, and it's very clear to
sort of draw conclusions, because those are the two areas which AOC is very directly asked to investigate.
I'm going to sit down out of this.
From a structural point of view, I think I prefer Peter's model, but I come back to what Kathy said, is that the executive summary can talk in terms of the law enforcement and consumer trust, yeah, because each of those sections are going to deal with it, and it can be brought together. I'm just worried that if we tried to structure it the other way, it would be difficult. It would be confusing to discuss.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
since Bill and I are going to work on the executive summary, I feel like we can do that. That we can, however it's organized in the body of the report, we could write the executive summary so that it's organized by law enforcement and consumers.
So I actually didn't have a preference on either one. I was just suggesting it as an alternative to consider, and I'm happy with both options. So that's not an issue.
I think Bill, are you waiting to say something? Kathy's keen to say. You can't remember. Okay.
Hey, I don't know if this would be okay. Sharon, since she's not here, she can't say I'm wrong. But with the executive summary, since Sharon said she was really interested in using it, would not for drafting, but could she work with you? Could she work with you as kind of a reviewer before it goes off to everyone else?
I think Sharon would be a great, I would call it sounding board, that after Bill and I are satisfied that we've got a good draft, then we could bounce it off of her and get her take on it.
And she'd really like to, I had it in my notes, and she'd really.
Yeah, if she can't understand what we've written, we have failed, in my opinion. But.
So something I mentioned to Lynn privately is that, you know, I'm looking for roles here to play, and I think I volunteered for one early on, but I was suggesting that I try to back Lynn up on the consumer trust issues, and so I don't know how that'll work, but please call on me, I'm planning to concentrate on as one of the areas that I can contribute to.
That would help me a lot, because I've taken this role of project manager for the outside research firm, and then also trying to write that would be very helpful. Sarmad has also been very supportive, and Kim, even though he's not here, Kim has done consumer research before, and so he's provided a lot of good advice, and I know he has an interest in the consumer trust section, so I think he's another person on that part.
Do you think it would work, Alice, do you reckon that you could have a first go at pulling all of the different elements of the document together in the order that we said we kind of agreed things would go in? And that will give us then a template to start to work on. I think we're going to have to be disciplined about version control, particularly for what's on the wiki. And it might be that we continue to work in separate chapters, because otherwise it's going to become completely unwieldy. But I would like to, I think we're probably ready now to see what the document looks like, all formatted the same, all in the same font, all flowing through chapter one through the rest of it. And I think that would be, Alice, you know, obviously, Kathy and I can assist, but I'm sure that you can follow that, and that will give us a very good start to take on the next thing. And then I suggest that probably Peter, Kathy and James and I, as authors of some of these big chunky chapters in the middle, spend a bit of time coordinating between us to make sure that we're eliminating duplication and getting the flow started, and then I think that will be setting us up in the best way for Dakar. Okay.
Proxy privacy section, I could be wrong, doing what we did here, lining up different recommendations and continuing to talk about them. Is that?
Yeah.
And more may come.
I think the message I'm taking away from these 2 days is we're closer to consensus than I thought we might be on data accuracy. I think that we're very close to a set of recommendations that we can all live with, which I think will advance this issue in a very positive way. We all need to do some more thinking about proxy privacy. We're not there yet, and it's actually having those two conversations back to back really emphasised for me what it's like when there isn't consensus and what it's like when there is consensus. And we're not, there's stuff we agree on proxies and privacies, but there's a lot of stuff that we're still baffled by and we still don't know how to do and we still disagree on. So that's something that we need to reflect. I think we need now some time to reflect about how we grapple with this, given that there are studies going on, but that this has been an issue that has been identified as a big one by the people who've talked to us. They're unhappy about it. And I think James said it, you know, we might not be able to solve it, we might not be able to get what's on our wish list or our letter to Santa Claus, but we could certainly get to a stage where we could do better. So I think that's probably, I would like to just sort of leave it at that, unless that anybody's got anything that they want to raise. Peter.
Agree with everything you've said. So, and I agree in particular that, you know, like I think we're pretty close or a good stage with accuracy. So the privacy proxy issue probably needs a bit more attention, obviously. And as a next step, could we encourage, there's now two formulations for potential recommendations out there. One is the one that we discussed yesterday. Kathy has circulated something overnight. I'm sure, I assume Kathy, like me, acknowledges that we didn't get it right first go. But a good way forward could be for people to actually circulate comments against those specific recommendations, or alternately to propose some new ones, picking up on the bits out of the existing ones maybe that they like and taking it in a new direction or something. But we've got some proposed text. Either comment on that text or propose some new text, like get down to the nitty-gritty. Like, because I think once we can settle on an endpoint that we're all comfortable with, the argument to get to that endpoint will be a bit easier. I'm not sure I want to spend my time going home and redrafting the chapter if I'm not sure what the endpoint we're after is. So if we can engage with the recommendations, it'd be really helpful, I think.
That's great, Kitsa.
Yeah, can we have a fresh document with the two recommendations, maybe almost side by side? I'm just suggesting that so that we're not working with old versions. We have everybody's freshest thoughts.
We'll ask Alice to sort of just produce the next, the fresh versions. Wilfried.
Just a little, a very little logistics thingy. I am having problems with the doc files in the wiki environment. So if there is a mechanism, if Alice would know how to do it properly, if not, I'm volunteering to work with you to find out how to do it, sort of to put it into, or at least additionally, put it into the wiki as an attachment where you can just download it or open it without the wrapping of the wiki stuff, because it limits your capabilities to work with the document, at least mine.
Yeah, we'll have a look at that. I think I encountered that, but then found that often there is an attachment there. It's just not obvious where it is. So, obviously, let's work on that. So, any more for any more? We've dumped Alice with a lot of work, which I'm very pleased about, and shirked it ourselves. Result.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm looking at calendars here, and let me throw something out. We're having our full day meeting, if I remember correctly, on Sunday, October 23rd. Could we set a deadline for all drafts of a week before? maybe Sunday, October 16th. And that way, if you're running a day or two late, but that way we can all read everything on the plane coming in, yeah. and come in kind of seeing the whole thing flowing, if, you know, the 16th, if not before. Is that okay? And do you have permission for us to harass you and each other to, you know, make sure everything comes in?
Yeah, I think everyone agrees to that sort of thing, thinking they'll be the harasser rather than the harassed. But Lutz, Peter?
A more general question. Do we have a feeling what happens after we produce the final report? Is the working group going to the seas, or are we going further? What will happen? I just bring the question from my wife, because she is saying, do not travel that much.
Lutz, I think that our process is, we've got to issue our draft report. And one of the things I think we discussed before you were able to arrive yesterday was that while we think we're pretty advanced in our work on the report, we're not going to be in a position to have agreed draft recommendations before time enough before Dakar to do the other element of what we have to do, which is to present and consult with the various affected communities and get their feedback.
It's just to have a feeling what will happen the next few years.
Yeah. Well, from I think that what we should plan for in a sort of serious way is that we'll be engaged in outreach in Costa Rica. In Costa Rica. And that thereafter, there'll probably be some monitoring and stuff, but that I expect that enough of us will be in the ICANN environment anyway for that not to be a commitment of the WHO IS review team, but just the sort of, the way that James has described, the sort of, if I can put it this way, the rump of the ATRT.
The alumni,
that's much better. okay, Wilfried.
Yeah, to follow up on that one, do we still expect to be formally done by the end of this year? Or are we more to expect that this group will formally exist at least till Costa Rica?
That's my expectation. I think that if I can divide it into two things, I view part of our formal mandate is to present and receive feedback on our report, and so therefore the Costa Rica meeting, I would say, would be the end of the formal mandate. However, for various reasons, I think many of us are very keen to keep to our original deadline of the 30th of November for drafting. Peter?
Just taking a step back to the deadlines thing, if we're having a deadline of a week before Dakar for chapters, which I think is 2.5 weeks from now, that means that deadline is. It looks like we'll be working together to pull together the GAPS chapters. No. So could I, on behalf of Emily and I and whoever else wants to be involved in circulating those draft chapters, make a plea on the proxy privacy one for a deadline, not a final deadline, but a deadline for comments on the recommendations a week before that at least. So maybe a week from now, to give us a week and a half to then redraft and do what we need to do. Yeah.
So we'll get our recipe. I'm going to draw the meeting, or whatever the word is, because I'm so tired now, I can't even adjourn the meeting and say thank you all very much for your participation. But I'm going to give Wilfried the last word.
No, not the last one. The last one is yours. Sorry. No, I was, while we were following the and discussing the presentation by UI, it occurred to me, and also I think there was a private chat during the lunch break and the coffee break, that there is no centralized way of finding who is information. So being a technology guy, DNS does have the capability of maintaining shadow copies. It's called secondary slave, whatever. So I'm wondering whether there is merit in the idea to give the mandate to ICANN to maintain a shadow copy or a secondary or whatever WHOIS service, and pulling all the WHOIS data, whether this is thick or thin or pink, sort of into one place, virtually into one place, physically it can be anywhere, and to provide some sort of centralized starting point for queries. I'm aware of the fact that it's probably a very wild idea, but I'm just throwing it into the room. Thanks.
There we were, thinking the meeting was over. Thanks for that. Lutz and Peter.
IANA has already providing such a service. You have a centralized starting point for WHOIS queries, and you get a referral to the next WHOIS server, which is responsible for the top-level domain or something else. So you can go down, starting up from a central point and going down. And we even have in the RFC from the IATF working groups, we have an RFC on starting points of WHOIS servers. So it would be so formally speaking, the IATF puts the mandate to maintain such a centralized list to ICANN, which formally speaking put it to IANA, and they're providing the service already. That's fine.
Okay, but then I'm wondering why UI is using WHOIS. Whatever the top level domain is, and thus adding to the confusion of the test individuals.
I don't think that the route that you've proposed, Lutz, is going to solve UI's problem of a very user-centric experience for the less technically able. I don't think so, but I might be wrong.
WHOIS? Look up. There's not one. There's not a centralized one that I know of. Other than like what you've described, Wilfred.
There's the thin ones, the internet thin one, but then you're asking.
Then you're chasing.
User on a
I like Wilfred's solution myself. Peter, you wanted to come in.
Formally speaking, I had to oppose any proposal that urged somebody to transfer data outside the legal scope the transfer data was collected to. So a centralized WHOIS server which makes a shadow copy of the data would violate a lot of laws.
I always have to follow you.
So I'm actually really interested by Wilfred's suggestion, and the reason I initially put up my hand was to say it's perhaps not as wild an idea as you think it was, that from having read all the submissions from stakeholders, at least a couple that I recall actually suggested just that, a centralized database. And while a technically something such as that may exist, it does not seem that it provides, as Emily said, a user-centric, friendly, centralized place where you could go. In terms of breaching laws, I hear this all the time, and I'm interested to know specifics, because we've heard on a number of occasions that data protection and privacy laws may be breached. When we look for actual specific examples, I'm still, to be honest, unaware of any. ICANN has a policy for addressing any potential breaches where there is a definitive advice that a law is being breached, and to my knowledge that's been used once, and that was the advice from from ICANN staff. So if there are a bunch of registries out there who are breaching local laws, I hope they do something to address that. So I'm not sure that any are currently being breached. And from my reading, generally speaking, the requirement is that people are advised what their data is going to be used for. And that was one of the things I was really interested to hear from the consumer research today, that of the, was it 12 that they interviewed who did have domain names, they were all aware that their data was up for whois, because I note from the agreements that the registrars are meant to advise registrants that what their data is going to be used for. And that seemed to me to be one of the question marks that I had hanging over things. Does that actually happen? Whilst we, you know, we acknowledge that a qualitative survey of such a small sample isn't definitive in any way. It's interesting anyway. But I don't think it's insurmountable that there is a dramatic difference between who is data being stored in one place or aggregated or mirrored in another place. I'd really like to know what law would be breached by that, particularly if the registrant was advised the way in which their data would be used.
At least in Europe, it depends on how you implement the service. If you ship the data physically from Europe to outside the, or from within a state within the EU to another state within the EU, it's easier, but it's still regulated. If you ship the data outside the EU, it becomes really messy. That's one aspect, and in that one I agree with Lutz 200%. On the other hand, accessing the data and making it available is a different story. So from my point of view, there would be some merit in doing a little bit of brain work and trying to find out what a potential implementation for such a service would be, which would not violate the laws. So, but I'm with Lutz on this one, sort of simply taking a copy of the data, shipping it to the United States, to California, would definitely be contrary and 100%, 180 degrees contrary to European data protection law. But access is a different, potentially a different story.
Well, the thing is, guys, I think we can talk around this and have our angels dancing on the head of a pin. But the fact is that, now, shocking as it is, any whois service theoretically breaches European data protection law, because a whois lookup can be done on any part of the world, and that data is done. And I don't think we're going to, I think this is a bar conversation. We're not going to agree. It's an issue we know. I think it's a point well made. Your suggestion is well made. It goes to some of the comments made, but I suggest that we probably take the rest of this discussion offline. I've got Sarmad and Kathy wanting to come in.
Just to flag that, I think it's probably important that we also all review the survey form, which is prepared by the by UI, and actually give feedback, because I think the, at least in my view, the way they posited this, it's still got, it's still quite broad, and it's still not addressing some of the whois specific issues which we want to be addressed. So it's actually going to be important to get everybody's feedback to just tune that up into the form which we think is going to give us the answers we need.
And just an original, an additional thought as we're thinking, I don't have any words either, I think we should adjourn soon. But as we're looking at the whois layout, what struck me was that a lot of the fields didn't make sense to people. They don't know registrars, registries, registrants. And so regardless of whether we create one monster database of every GTLD registrant in the universe, plus let's add all the CCTLDs while we're at it, you know, just to make it complete, or whether we're teaching people what it means and explaining it better, that's something we could do at InterNIC now, is to say, okay, you know, the data isn't here, but here's the link. And people are used to links, and maybe even make it a live link. Here's the link to the registrar. The registrar is the person who holds the data. We could go into more detail. But just begin, and InterNIC is a database we could work with. It was created as a consolidated, you know, database for ICANN. And, you know, if we have to create one central site, that might be a place, but education will help us until we go through some of the later steps of what's the purpose of the data, who's the audience for the data, and then maybe we can help create something better. But just lots of different steps. So there may not be a single answer on this one.
Thank you all very much indeed. And safe journey home. See you in a month. Sorry, I forgot to say, could I just say a special thanks to the ICANN team for their support?
Yay!
And